Then the word of the Lord came to me, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter has done, declares the Lord? Behold, like the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. It's Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 5 and 6 from the Old Testament in the Bible. And we read that just now as part of our scripture reading. And I'll just start by telling you that this is my very favorite passage from the book of Jeremiah. And I hope by the end of the sermon that you'll understand why. It's a little story, just a minor incident in the grand scheme of things. A story that Jeremiah tells about a field trip that God sent him on. Before I unfold it, I want to show you this video. This is so we all know what we're talking about, all on the same page. Just take a look. Prophet Jeremiah, as I said, chapter 18, if you want to turn in your Bible or on your Bible app on your phone, Jeremiah 18, Jeremiah tells us that he had an experience a little bit like the one you and I just had. He says, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, arise, and go down to the potter's house, and there I will let you hear my words. So I went down to the potter's house, and there he was working at his wheel, and the vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hand, and he reworked it into another vessel as it seemed good to the potter to do. Then the word of the Lord came to me, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter has done, declares the Lord. Behold, like the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. God sends Jeremiah on a little errand. Nothing hard. He basically sends him window shopping. God says, Jeremiah, I want you to get up and go down to the potter's house. When you get there, I'll have something to tell you. And so Jeremiah goes, and when he gets there, God lets him stand there a while watching the potter make a pot. And then God gives him the message. This is sometimes the way God operates. I don't know if you've had this experience, but sometimes God communicates by showing ordinary things to discerning minds. He says, look at this, and there's a message there. That's actually part of the calling of a prophet, to draw out of ordinary things their extraordinary truths. God says, behold, and the prophet says, I feel like you're telling me something. You read the Old Testament prophets, and God's always doing this. He did it with the prophet Amos. different points in Amos's ministry, God shows him different things. He shows Amos a plumb line. What do you see, Amos? And there was a message there. He shows him a basket of summer fruit. What do you see, Amos? And there was a message there. God does this with the prophet Jonah. He shows Jonah a gourd vine. What do you see, Jonah? And there's a message there. You may recall, Jonah didn't particularly like the message, but he got the message. So this is the sort of thing that God is always doing. But particularly, if you read the book of Jeremiah, you'll notice God's always doing this with Jeremiah. Jeremiah was apparently a sensitive soul, just open to the invisible profundities of everyday existence. God could just take Jeremiah around town. Hey, look at this, check that out. At different times, God shows Jeremiah a branch from an almond tree, a tilted cooking pot, two piles of figs. What do you see, Jeremiah? And every time, the message. So here in Jeremiah 18, God shows Jeremiah a man, a potter, making a clay pot. And God says, there's truth there, Jeremiah. And what is it? God says, you see that potter? That's me. That's what I'm like. I'm the potter. Which, by the way, I love that God is willing to compare himself to something as humble as a potter. Just a man and a wheel and some clay. And what is the clay? God says, that's you. That's what you're like. You're clay in my hand. It's a good message. Now, let me just say, this is not a new idea that God is giving Jeremiah here, that God's the potter and we're the clay. God isn't surprising Jeremiah with a new picture. 80 years or so before Jeremiah, the prophet Isaiah had said it in a prayer. But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter. We all are the work of your hand. But now, don't hear me say that I think that Jeremiah plagiarized Isaiah. It's more like he's a member of the Isaiah fan club. Not sure if Jeremiah had all the Isaiah trading cards, but if you read the book of Jeremiah, all throughout his writings, there are these little bits and pieces where he's getting something from Isaiah. And you can even imagine, God takes Jeremiah down to the potter's house, has him stand there watching the potter, because God knows that that bit of Isaiah's poetry had gotten in his soul. God just has to show him the potter for it to percolate its way out. It's not much of a stretch for Jeremiah to pick up the lesson from there. And of course, if you quiz Isaiah, where'd you get that from, Isaiah? He'd have to admit that the picture of the potter and the clay ultimately goes all the way back to the book of Genesis. Maybe you were already thinking of this. Genesis chapter 2. The Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature. God has been conceptualizing himself to us as our potter from the very beginning. But now the good message, I said, God is the potter and we're the clay. A good message, but if we're honest, we have to admit, it hasn't always been a welcome message. It's not what you would call a marvelously received message. It's not always welcome in our society. Truthfully, it's not always welcome in our churches. And for some of us, to be as brutally honest as we can, it's a message that may not always have been welcome in our own hearts. I mean, we'll sing it in a song if we have that in church, which we're going to have in a little bit. We'll nod if we read it in the Bible. But I mean, really, let's be honest. Some of you, I say it because I know you, you'd really have liked it better if Jeremiah had looked through the window of the potter's house and gotten a slightly different message. Now, I'm not saying out loud that any of you want to correct the Bible. You'd never actually say this because you'd hear how it sounds. But I know that some of you have an unarticulated feeling that the story would just be so much better if Jeremiah was watching the potter The word of the Lord had come to Jeremiah, and God had said, Jeremiah, you are the potter, and the clay is your life. You are free to shape it however seems good to you, but you know, sometimes in life, something happens, and then your life doesn't turn out like you wanted it to. The vessel is spoiled in your hand, and you have to rework it, just like the potter. It's up to you to fix it. You're accountable. Nobody's going to come along and reshape the clay of your life for you. You just have to not give up. Keep on working. Keep on shaping. Keep that wheel spinning, and you will achieve your goals. Doesn't say that. But some of you are like, that's the way it should have been. I mean, a message of personal freedom, personal accountability, personal achievement. Whew. That is a very enticing message. On the one hand, personal freedom, personal accountability. You can do whatever you want as long as you take responsibility for yourself and your actions. Very heady, very grown up. Nobody's going to come along and fix your problems for you. There's no such thing as a free lunch. And then on the other hand, personal freedom and personal achievement. You can do whatever you want, and if you'll just keep trying, and try harder, everything eventually is going to work out for you. You're the potter, and your life is the clay, and you can make it into anything you want. It's a gospel of success. And it's a very 21st century American message. We like that message. Personal freedom, personal accountability, personal achievement. Just go to the grocery store and pick up any celebrity watching tabloid. Turn at random to any famous person interview. And the chances are better than average that you'll hear some variation of this message, the gospel of success. You're the potter and your life is the clay. You have both the opportunity and the responsibility to make your life into the life you want. You may not succeed at first, but if you just keep plugging away, you're guaranteed to get there. Which is a message that works great right up until the moment it doesn't. Please let me ask you this. What happens when sooner or later your life becomes unmanageable? Because it will. And you discover that no matter how hard you try, you can't spin your life back into shape. You know, I think about the Palisades fires that are raging out of control in California right now. And there are people who want to say that it's God's vengeance on Hollywood for being so ungodly. And honestly, I think that's above my pay grade to determine. But I don't think that's how it works. Because otherwise, what do you say when a church burns down? What I do think, though, is that it's a reminder, whatever else, a reminder, how much luck is actually involved in our success that has nothing to do with our being determined and working hard and taking responsibility. Just how much it can come down, literally, to just which way the wind happens to be blowing. And how no matter how determined we are, and how hard we work, and how responsible we are, 24 hours is sufficient to take it all away. Some of you, you've told yourself the story of the gospel of success, that you were the potter and your life was the clay. And that story worked for you right up until it didn't. And then you end up in jail. You end up in rehab, or you end up in divorce court, or on the unemployment line, or you end up in the principal's office, or the doctor's office, or your lawyer's office, or your pastor's office. Or at the very least, you end up sitting in church. Because even if nothing positively world-shattering happened, you've come to the realization, oh, I'm not the potter. Some of you, you're here this morning because you need to come back to that realization. You need to hear that message. You're not the potter. You never were. But, you know, some of you, you've had that message from the beginning, that God's the potter and you're not. You're clear on that one. But what you wish Jeremiah had heard is, I'm the potter, Jeremiah, and you're the pottery wheel. And oh, wouldn't that have been a great message? I mean, the verse mentions the pottery wheel. Jeremiah's looking right at it. And some of you are like, that would have been a great message. Oh, yeah. God's the potter, I'm the wheel. And you know what the clay is? The clay is good deeds that God wants me to do in my life. Good, productive deeds. And as long as I just keep churning out good, productive deeds one after another, everything's going to be great. And if something's going to goes wrong, God will fix it because he's the potter. I'm just the pottery wheel. I know my place, and my place is to turn out an endless procession of good pottery for God. It's the gospel of good works. And that's better, marginally? I mean, maybe? It's certainly more a more churchy message than the gospel of success, wouldn't you agree? The church loves this one. It's not what it says. Man, churchy people love the gospel of good works. And I have been in churches where I'm pretty sure that's the message that's proclaimed from the pulpit Sunday after Sunday. Be productive. Get out there and do good deeds. Be a good Christian and an upright citizen and a virtuous consumer. Share the gospel with someone this week. Invite a friend to church. Memorize a Bible verse. Wash your car. Pay your bills on time. Register to vote. Keep your premiums up to date. Get out of debt and have your cat or dog spayed or neutered. Some of you, you grew up in a church like that. Now, to be clear, there's nothing wrong with any of that stuff. In fact, the more of that stuff you can do, the better. I'll just tell you that I spent a big chunk of last week doing that kind of stuff, wrapping my pipes, picking up new glasses, getting my allergy shot, refinancing a loan, going to the gym, teaching a Bible study, writing a sermon, on and on and on. But you know, the problem with the gospel of good works is that what it implies is that my value to God lies solely in my usefulness to God. God wants me around because I'm producing a steady stream of righteous acts. But if the idea becomes God has a use for me as long as I'm productive, what do you do when, if you're the pottery wheel, every single pot that comes off your spiritual assembly line is all crooked? What do you do? I mean, every one of the pots that comes off your wheel looks like it was made by a four-year-old with Play-Doh and spit. I mean, have you had that experience? Like, you just cannot get it together morally? And you have to ask the question, if the vessel is spoiled in the potter's hand, and the potter is God, and I'm the wheel, does the fault for the spoiled vessel lie with the potter or the wheel? I mean, I'll just tell you, if I'm a pottery wheel, this is the truth about me. A lot of days I wobble when I spin, and that's if I can even spin. Anybody else? Some of you, you're there. And so you say to yourself, I can't produce. I have nothing useful to contribute. The potter has better pottery wheels. He doesn't need me. And the message you need to hear today is you were never the pottery wheel. You're not the potter. You're not the wheel. God told Jeremiah, you're the clay. And if we'll hear Jeremiah's message, which is God's message, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter has done, declares the Lord. Behold, like the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. If you'll hear that, it will really change things for you, because that's the truth, and it's the gospel of grace. It's not the gospel of success. It's not the gospel of good works. It's the gospel of grace. Now, the rest of my sermon this morning is very simple, because implied in this message of the gospel of grace, there are three practical lessons. You can think of them as lessons from the potter's wheel. First lesson, sovereignty. That's a big church word that means God is in charge, which also means you're not. That's the image of the potter working on the pot. It's an image of sovereignty. And some of you, you just need to absorb that message, because to you, it seems like nobody's running the show. Your life could not be this spectacularly off the rails if there was anybody in charge. Have you felt that? But I just want to remind you that the clay is on a spinning wheel, okay? What do you think the clay would say if it could? I mean, sometimes maybe, whee! But a lot of other times, probably, I think I'm going to be sick. Stop the world. I want to get off. In fact, whenever I read this passage, I always wonder, what came first in the mind of God? The spinning pottery wheel or the spinning globe of the earth? Do you think that was an accident? But some of us, sometimes we start thinking that because we don't like what God's doing, God must not be doing it right. Is that you? Now, it's not a new thought. Isaiah had to remind people about this in his time, Isaiah chapter 29. You turn things upside down. Shall the potter be regarded as the clay, that the thing made should say of its maker, he did not make me? Or the thing formed say of him who formed it, he has no understanding. God, you don't know what you're doing. I mean, on the surface of it, it's a silly thing to say, but we say it. You made me too short, too tall, too bald, too young to do this job, too old to do this job, too married, too single to do this job, too childless, too childful. I don't know. I mean, on and on it goes, though. I wish I were a better talker. I wish I had a better temper. I wish I wasn't an addict. I wish I didn't have ADHD or depression or anxiety. I wish I didn't have the sexual issues I have. I wish I didn't have the past I have. I wish I didn't have the family I have. I mean, make a list. We'll criticize our design, we'll criticize our history, and then we'll use it as an excuse for why we aren't serving, why we aren't growing. We'll use all that stuff as an excuse for why we aren't showing up for church, why we aren't showing up for our family, why we aren't showing up for our own spiritual life. Isaiah says, woe to him who strives with him who formed him, a pot among earthen pots. Does the clay say to him who forms it, what are you making? Or your work has no handles. Now, Isaiah is doing some comedy, but he's also right. What the image of the pot and the potter means is that God has the power, the right, and the wisdom to shape us. Now, at this point, I do need to point out something that maybe you've already noticed, and that's the fact that as God was saying this stuff to Jeremiah, he was talking about what he called the house of Israel. See, the issue was that Israel as a nation had gone off the rails. It wasn't just this person or that person. It was their society, their culture, their system. Injustice was rampant. Idolatry was everywhere. And God looks at his nation and he says, they're like that clay pot on the potter's wheel, spoiled in the potter's hand. And the reason God sends Jeremiah to get this message is that he was about to take the house of Israel into a season of serious reshaping. And to do that, God was putting them through conquest and captivity at the hands of the Babylonians. Which is why God tells Jeremiah in the next verse to say, if at any time I declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will pluck up and break down and destroy it, and if that nation concerning which I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent of the disaster that I intended to do to it. And If at any time I declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will build and plant it, and if it does evil in my sight, not listening to my voice, then I will relent of the good that I had intended to do it. Second lesson, let's call it discipline. The image of the pot on the potter's wheel is an image of discipline. And here I'm deliberately trying, and Jeremiah is deliberately trying, which means God is deliberately trying to reframe what may have been your experience, or what may currently be your experience, or what might be about to be your experience. Because maybe the reason your life is off the rails right now is your own fault. Maybe. You did some dumb things, or something shabby or shady. You cut some corners, or made some compromises that you shouldn't have. You caved where you should have stood firm. You bargained when you should have walked away. And you may have been told God is punishing you. You may have even told yourself that. You may have said, it's God's judgment on me. And what Jeremiah is saying is, it's God's shaping on you. God isn't rejecting you. God isn't taking it out on you. God is disciplining you. Now, of course, that doesn't mean it's going to be pleasant. The book of Hebrews points out, for the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. But later, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. God is a potter. You feel a squeeze, and it's because God is molding you. You feel a deep jab or a painful scraping. God is hollowing you and smoothing down your rough places. You feel a storm, and really it's just God wetting you down to keep you from getting hard and dry and unyielding. And I know it feels bad, but you have to remind yourself when it gets like that, that you're in a season of shaping. You know, I was saying earlier that this is my favorite passage in Jeremiah. I love the picture. I love it as a picture for God's sovereignty, and I love it as a picture of God's gentle, loving, painstaking discipline. But I love it most for one very small but significant detail. Jeremiah says, so I went down to the potter's house, and there he was working at his wheel, and the vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hand. And it would be very understandable if at this point in the text it had said, so the potter decided, this is just bad clay, unmanageable, ungovernable, useless. And he took the clay off the wheel and threw it away and got some superior clay that would do whatever he wanted it to do. Praise God. Doesn't say any of that. It says, and he reworked it into another vessel as it seemed good to the potter to do. As it seemed good to the potter to do. Do you hear that? Because the final lesson of this story is transformation. Oh, it's so good. And this is why it's the gospel of grace, which is to say the gospel of second chances. Listen, the same God who was at work in the days of Jeremiah is at work in Christ Jesus through the Holy Spirit. I mean, after all, this is the Jesus who could take the stubborn, foolish, impulsive Simon Bar-Jonah and transform him into the mighty Apostle Peter. That's the potter's wheel at work. This is the Jesus who could take the violent, vengeful sons of thunder and turn them into the apostles James and John. John, the apostle of love, that's the potter's wheel at work. This is the Jesus who can take the bitter, self-righteous, murderous Saul of Tarsus and turn him into the Apostle Paul. So rejoice. Have hope. If the sovereign potter goes to work on you with loving discipline, as he turns the wheel. What will he transform you into? Pray with me. Heavenly Father, our great potter, as we spin so dizzyingly on this wheel, be merciful and shape us gently. Father, thank you that we who are clay in your hand, we who are just dust, can trust you in our shaping to make something glorious of us. Lord, help us to learn this lesson. Help us not to give in or to sell out to the lure of the gospel of success or the gospel of good works, as tempting as they are. How good the gospel of grace is, Lord. Thank you for all your second chances. In Jesus' name, amen.